Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning. For the call to worship, I'm going to be reading one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 133. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord declared his blessing, life forevermore. Can you join with me in the blue hymnal? And we'll read song number 6 here in this place. And let's stand. And we will sing all 3 verses. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Well, welcome everybody here again this morning, and I'll just ask, are there any guests that would need to or would like to be introduced? No? Well, everyone is welcome here. There's a few announcements I will just highlight. The Sunday school is in need of volunteers, so if you would like to volunteer, if you know someone who would, please let Shauna Zacharias or Gary Martins know. And then our theme for the summer's favorite psalms. I'm not sure. Are we still needing more theme songs? Yeah. So if you are thinking of a favorite psalm you have, please let Gary or Gary know. I guess you'd be the person to know. I know. That would be great. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? I guess I just want to make sure that you are all aware and feel welcome to have coffee after the service today. We thought because the service is starting at 10 this summer, we would have the coffee afterwards. So please join us in the foyer for some coffee and fellowship after the service today. And I guess we'll have another hymn. Hymn number 46, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. We'll sing all 3 verses. to move into our sharing time now with just some announcements that were in the bulletin. So in hospital, we still have Louise Lage and Mary Pancratz. And then the Review Health Center is Anna Dick. And then we have many members in personal care homes as well. And let's keep them all in our prayers. And then we have a special announcement for Rudy and Louise. And please keep Louise in her prayers as she continues to, I think, steadily improve. But it's been slow going. And then there's also a joyful announcement for Dick and Erica Cron. Are you here today? No. Okay. Well, they're celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. That's a wonderful accomplishment, and we celebrate with them. Are there any other things that people would like to share? I'll bring the mic to you. Nelson Timothy Lowen, a new grandson for Harry. That's wonderful. And sorry, I'm guessing because the middle name is Tim, so he took the opportunity to name it after himself. That's wonderful. Are any other things to share? I guess I would just like to share, people have been asking about our son, Jacob. He's recovering really well from the surgery he had about a month ago now. And you can see he's standing there. He's just about back to himself. As with any surgery, when your stomach muscles are cut, it takes a while to get that strength back. But he seems to be doing really well now. So we really appreciate all the prayers and support we've been getting from everybody. Thank you for that. I'd like you to open the blue hymnal to number 720, and we will pray the prayer of God's people together today. And before I begin the leader portion of the prayer, I will leave a little time of silence for you to add your personal prayers to the prayer. So that's 720. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and our congregation, for faithfulness and strength to persevere in righteousness. We pray for the whole people of God. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the commonwealth of our global community. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, for those who mourn. We pray for all who need comfort and hope. You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to the front. I'll have a little children's story for them. Is this on? I'm glad there are some children here besides my own today. That's good, because I'm going to tell a little story about Astrid when she was about 4 years old. She came home once from visiting her grandma, and she said to me very seriously, "Did you know that grandma has eyes in the back of her head?" And grandma says that all moms have eyes in the back of their head. And so Astrid wanted to know if I had eyes in the back of my head as well. And I said, yes, I did. And that even when she thought I couldn't see her, I could see what she was doing. And Astrid proceeded to kind of feel through my hair to check where the eyes were. And I said she couldn't feel them because they were closed. But this psalm that we're talking about today, Psalm 139, kind of reminds me of that, because it's about how God sees everything we do, even when we think he's not watching us, and there's no place we can go to be separated from his love, just like a mother's love. Even though you think your mom is not watching you and she may not love you, she always does. So I just wanted to share that so maybe you can relate to what we're going to be talking about today. So let's say a little prayer. Thank you, God, that you are always watching me and care for me and love me, even though you see all the things that I do. Amen. Turn the fans down? Yeah? Can someone... the ones in the... Is it hard to hear? Or... Okay. Maybe we can get someone to do that while we're singing our offering hymn, which is 439? Oh, 93, sorry. It's my German as a first language coming through there. I always reverse the numbers. So 493, I heard the voice of Jesus say, and we will sing all three verses. As I mentioned before, the psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 139. It was apparently a favorite of many, many people in the church. So I will read verses 1 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, for your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even in the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
So I'm going to start today's sermon with a bit of a confession. I have a really hard time with the Psalms. The Psalms are very personal and very emotional. And I don't really do well looking at the world through an emotional lens sometimes. I'm much more of a logical person. I like to just follow basic logic. It's much easier for me. It's how I understand the world. So today's sermon is sort of my musings as I travel through this world of emotional ways of seeing God as a bit of a stranger in a strange land. All right, so we start with verses 1 to 6. And in my normal logical way, verses 1 to 6 is talking about omniscience. For those of you who don't know what omniscience is just the theological way of saying that God is all-knowing. It's a rather common attribute to think of when thinking about God. It's one of the standard three big O's associated with God. The others, of course, being omnipotence, being all-powerful, and omnipresence, being in all places. Now, normally, I'd look at this through a very logical lens, logical process. God is perfect, God created everything, therefore, he must have a perfect knowledge of his creation. And that's great. Nice and simple, and distant enough that it doesn't really have an impact on me any further than that it illustrates the goodness and the perfection of God. Psalm 139, however, talks about omniscience in a very different way. It talks about it in a much more experiential way. God knows everything, but he doesn't just know everything, not merely everything about the universe. He knows everything about us. That perfect knowledge that I normally like to set aside on a shelf when I think about it from a logical standpoint takes on a much greater meaning when looked at this way. God's omniscience means that he has searched me, and he knows me. God knows more about us than we can even know about ourselves. In verse 6, the psalmist says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so high that I can't attain it." God knows more about us than we can ever hope to know about ourselves. If there is anything we think we know a lot about, it's about ourselves. And rightly so, we should be the experts on ourselves. We spend our whole lives as ourselves, so it stands to reason that we should know ourselves better than anyone else, especially someone as busy and important as God. But God still knows us better than we even know ourselves. Now there's a scary thought. It's at this point where I started to wonder how much of this psalm is a psalm of praise, and which parts of it are a bit of a psalm of lament. It seems to me it's at this point that the psalmist realizes what this all means. God knows everything about me. I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with that realization. There's parts of my everything that I don't want anybody to know. Never mind God. When the psalmist realizes this, he starts to feel a bit trapped. He's hemmed in on all sides by the knowledge of God. Now, hemmed in this case isn't talking about being gently protected, not being like tucked in all nice and cozy and safe. When he says he's hemmed in, he's using the term meaning surrounded. He's in a city and he is besieged and cannot escape, surrounded on all sides. Now this leads us to the other aspect of God that this psalm talks about. Omnipresence. That's the theological way of saying that God is everywhere. And once again, the psalmist goes about this in a very different way than I'm used to. I'm used to the standard logic of why God is omnipresent. God is perfect, and God is present, and the perfection of presence is being present in all places. Therefore, God is omnipresent. Nice, simple, cold, hard logic. But it kind of misses the point. Thinking of omnipresence that way sort of dilutes God in a similar way to when we think about him knowing everything. The psalmist goes on to say that God knows everything there is to know about him, then maybe it's time to try to get away from God, to a place that God can't reach. However, he quickly realizes that there's no place that he can go that is far enough to escape from God's guidance. Even if he goes to the other side of the world, even there he can feel the presence of God. Even when he is as far away from where God might think to look, there's God, holding him firmly with his right hand. Since the physical approach doesn't seem to be working, next he moves on to the internal approach. Perhaps he can hide in darkness. Perhaps he can get away from God by going to a place where God would not want to look for him. Maybe if I just commit to my sin and live a life in darkness, God won't come looking for me there. It's too distasteful. Maybe I'll just fall off his radar. But again, he finds that no matter how hard he tries, God is right there with him. It makes no difference to God if the darkness is there. He can see right through it, see right to who we are. And that's how this whole omnipresence thing works. It's not just that God can go anywhere, or that he is in some vague sense everywhere, which is almost so diluted it may as well mean nowhere. God is present where we are. Even in our darkest times, even in our secret places that we hope that nobody will ever find out about, he's there. And when we're sitting in our darkest, most secret places, we notice that God is still there. He hasn't left us, not after all that we have thought and done. It's now, after this realization, that it starts to become more of a psalm of praise again, not a psalm of despair any longer. For it was you who formed my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. As someone who's had self-esteem issues his entire life, I see this as an attempt of the psalmist to convince himself that he's worth all this effort that God's putting in, an attempt to convince himself that he's worthy of being loved, even with all of his shortcomings. And there were a lot of shortcomings. This is a Psalm of David, after all. David made mistakes. He sinned in ways that make anything I've ever done pale in comparison. Yet David was still known to be a man after God's own heart. Now, how's that possible? Well, we were made by God. And, as the psalm says, God's works are wonderful. We are wonderful. Nothing we can do can destroy the wonderfulness that is in each and every one of us. How arrogant it is to think we could possibly sin to such an extent that God could not forgive us. To continue the psalm, my frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty are your thoughts, O God! How vast the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This is what God's omniscience means. He has so many thoughts. His thoughts of us outweigh the number of grains of sand. That's how much he loves us. He loves us with more thoughts than we could even imagine on our own. And God knows that we'll mess up. We're human. That's what we do. But more importantly, what also makes us human is God's love for us. And that means he'll stick with us, even when we sin, even when we try to run away from him. He'll be right there with us, offering us another chance, offering us more guidance and direction. By the end of the psalm, the psalmist really gets it. He ends by saying, or he begins by saying, "You have searched me and you know me." And then he realizes the implications of this and gets a little bit spooked. But by the end of the psalm, he gets it. It isn't about searching so that God can make you feel bad about who you are. God searches you so that he knows what we need help with, so that he can build a relationship with us and lead us to where we need to go. The psalm ends by saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We aren't perfect, but we ask to see if there's any wicked way in us. And there is. God will always find something. But that's okay. Because he'll also lead us away from that. He'll be there, through thick and thin, no matter what. He will lead us in the light, in the way everlasting. So yeah, there's no getting away from God. But why would we want to?
Thank you for that, Chris. Can you turn with me in the blue hymnal to number 506? And we will sing all three verses.
Everyone could stand for the benediction and remain standing for the closing hymn. I know that in the bulletin it says that the benediction is from Psalm 139, but I'm going to modify it slightly. Search us, O Lord, and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.
We're going to sing song number 429 as our sending, and we're going to sing it in a round. It's going to be very exciting. I've asked Janet to help me lead the round, so I think we'll sing it through once all together. And then we'll go into the round, and this side will be number one with me, and then Janet will lead group two. And then when we come, and then sing it through twice, and then maybe once all together. And then if you could just allow me to get to the back to greet you all before we're done. Let's sing.